Yes, it's doing that now. It's recording. Yeah, I've just got it in front of me. Yeah, my name's Simon Hodgson. I'm a director of Carers Scotland. Well, we've just done our annual survey of carers, so we've pulled out a whole lot of data across the country of all the different concerns. But the one we're trying to draw attention to at the moment is... sorry, Steve, my phone just went into a default thing where it just turned itself off. Let's just start. Okay. Right. Okay, fine. It's doing it now, so I'll just assume it's recording, shall I? yeah, sorry, that's a bit of a broad question when I was just thinking about carers' breaks. so shall I go back and just... Are you going to edit this out, yeah? You can edit this, can you? Hello, Steve? Okay. Yeah, I mean, the report's got more things in it, but we've pulled out the carers' breaks because it's one of the things that that most people have been talking about. So I suppose it's a key thing, really, for people to get a break from caring. Yeah, I mean, it's shocking, really, isn't it, to think that somebody could go 365 days a year for 5 years without getting a day off at all. You know, if any of us that aren't in that situation just try to think about how that would feel, you could see why people are suffering both physically and mentally from the stress of doing that. Oh, well, most people are reporting a mixture. I mean, something over 70% of people are reporting both physical and mental health issues as a result of the sort of unrelenting nature of the caring. It's not that people don't want to care. They just need to know occasionally they're going to get a bit of time to themselves. Sometimes it's just to do really practical things. So just sometimes for their own health, they need to go. And we know lots of carers have told us that they avoid going to see their own GP. People put off having having operations and procedures that would help them because they can't find a way of covering for the caring responsibility that they have, and that's just not really acceptable. And it's building up problems for the future as well, because you know, everybody knows at the end of the day, if people end up as an emergency admission because they've had a physical or mental breakdown, then the state is going to have to intervene and look after the person they're looking after anyway, and that's going to cost far more than a relatively small amount of money to let people have regular time off from their caring. Well, the report highlighted some of the key reasons. Sometimes it literally was people didn't know they could. That's a general thing that we find in terms of people recognising themselves as carers who are entitled to help and support in their own right. So there's work to be done to make sure people do identify themselves as a carer rather than just as a mum, a husband, a daughter, you know, looking after elderly parents. Any of those situations where people just think, I have to do this because it's a family responsibility, it doesn't mean they're not entitled to help and support. But then other people as well, particularly, I think it's often the case, parents of disabled children, people, especially children with complex needs, worry about the level of care that their child will get in the services that are available locally. And they may not be available locally, so sometimes even just the practicalities of getting respite by the child going into some sort of residential care can be a long way away from where they live. So it just becomes such a hassle that they either can't afford the travel to get there or they don't trust the services. So people sometimes, you know, we hear stories of people putting people into respite, but then going to visit every day, just not really giving them the, you know, the break. They might not have to do the physical things themselves every day, but they're still having to spend their time effectively looking after people. Well, I think people do need to know that there are, you know, you're right, there are some some areas where there are good schemes, either administered by through the local authority, sometimes through the local carer centre have got some grants available for people to help people. And there are a range of different organisations as well. I mean, you know, a break doesn't have to be a holiday. A break can just be, you know, regular time off every week to do something, you know, for yourself. You know, go to the gym, go to the library, you know, go out to meet your friends for coffee. It's that stuff that people really miss, I think, sometimes when they can't make any plans. So they lose contact with their friends and family. They become very isolated and quite you know, cut off from society. And making sure that people know that there are potential support services that can help them with that is half the battle. And then making sure there's a sufficiency of supply in their area so that there are, you know, wherever they live in Scotland, there ought to be a way of them accessing that. I mean, one of the obvious things is that carers are often the point of contact or a key point of contact with medical professionals. So if people are in hospital and being visited by relatives and those relatives are expected to help with people when they go home, then the NHS recognising, identifying those people as carers and letting them know that as well as the support for the person who's in the hospital, there's actually support available for them as a carer as well, either as an individual or as a family. So, you know, so that early identification, especially if it's the first time somebody's been, you know, diagnosed with something, somebody's had an accident, somebody's had a stroke, or and so from that point forward, you're going to be a carer, whether you know you're a carer or not. Then we think that it would be great if, as a matter of course, that the NHS would give people information and point them in the direction of local support services. Now, that does happen in some places. It's, you know, it's not that it doesn't happen at all. It's just that it doesn't happen routinely. And we, you know, we still hear people who didn't get told anything about the fact that they are entitled to some support as well. And people don't always want to hear that information on the day of a crisis or the day they just found out really bad news about somebody's condition. It's not necessarily the first thing on their mind, how am I going to look after myself, because they don't know what it's going to be like. But knowing that they, you know, as they keep going back to either their GP or to see staff in the hospital, that they ought to be being referred routinely to where they can get support for themselves. That would be a great start. No, I don't think so. Let's see if that's... okay, how do I do...